And now it's over to my friend, film critic Peter Malone, who heads the film office at Cygnus, the World Catholic Association for Communication. Today he takes up from where we left off last week, when he analysed what has become a South African box office hit, District 9. He takes a look at two more futuristic films, showing right now in cinemas all over. The first is called Pandorum, and I began by asking him, what does Pandorum mean?
Pandorum is a word that they've coined for this film. It's about a disease that can affect astronauts who have been in deep sleep and wake up. So this particular film is, again, futuristic. It's set at the end of the 22nd century, I think, and Earth has really been destroyed. They're trying to set up colonies in outer planets, but it's a mystery as to what's happened. And the whole action is really confined to this spaceship when two of the astronauts wake up.
There's no one here except us.
And find that the passengers who are supposed to populate the new planet have become mutants and monsters. But there are a few other humans there trying to survive.
I just want out of this thing!
Do you know the symptoms of Pandorum? Starts with a shiver, an itch, a slow boil. The biological side effects of flying deep space, feeding into paranoia.
So it's a space film. Really,
it's a space film. I suppose people who like that kind of thing will remember the classic Alien and start remembering the Alien series. So, yes, darkness, mutants, fights. But there is a twist at the end.
Your mind has turned against itself.
Help!
And even though it is done by a German director and writer, I think it was financed by Hollywood, so as you can get from the hint, there is a bit of hope at the end of this one, despite all the darkness.
I see Dennis Quaid plays one of the leading roles.
He does, and he's involved in the twist at the end, so it's interesting. He's the captain of the spaceship.
Another film not for children?
Not for children, this one, no.
Okay.
Very dark, literally. Yes.
Okay, and that takes us to the last of our rather unsettling series, Surrogates.
Yes, this is a Bruce Willis film, and a bit disconcerting because at the opening of it he's got hair and he looks as if he's had some plastic surgery or something like that.
Which wouldn't be unusual in this day and age.
No, but the real Bruce Willis does emerge. Actually, that's because of the nature of these surrogates. They're not only clones or androids of individuals, they give a bit of a history during the credits of what's happened scientifically, that android robots resembling the self can be linked to the mind so that the person then can stay home and send out the surrogate to experience life.
Robotic human surrogates combine the durability of a machine with the grace and beauty of the human body. With most people living their lives through their surrogate selves, our world has become a safer place. Take a seat in your STEM chair, and just with the power of your mind, you can control your surrogate and send it out into the real world. You can live your life without limitations. You see what they see, feel what they feel, and become anyone you want to be from the comfort and safety of your own home. You can finally live the life you've always dreamt of without any risk or danger to yourself.
So they're starting to make comment that modern technology is actually isolating the individual, and substitute experiences are the order of the day. There's a murder, so it actually works as a murder mystery.
We are confronted with an unprecedented situation. Two people have died while connected to their surrogates.
And Bruce Willis's surrogate, and he was himself, a police detective.
I think we may actually have a homicide here.
There's also a colony of rebels protesting against this kind of technology.
The
public cannot be allowed to get the idea that using a surrogate can be fatal.
Especially if it's true.
So I found it rather interesting
in
this whole... Yes, and it's not particularly violent in the way that some of these other films are.
And from what I understand, each individual may have several surrogates.
Yes, one of them, who seems to be the villain, actually has a whole cupboard full, so to speak, and can assume all these different identities. He's wanting to stir up rebellion against surrogacy. And there's quite an impactful scene at the end when a lot of the surrogates just collapse in a city street. So images of a future that could be frightening.
You changed the world and now you want to destroy it?
It looks very sophisticated.
It is. It's interesting that a lot of the progress that we talk about, say, in the media, in papers, you know, advances in science and technology... When the filmmakers get to them, they take Mary Shelley's attitude and everything seems to be, you know, the Frankenstein monster. So that the films generally are warnings against the dangers. And this kind of surrogates finishes up, in a sense, a kind of sermon against the isolating of our own personalities and feelings and letting computer games and various other things that we do take over our lives.
And of course there's a long history of films which deal with mutants and can we call them surrogate existences? I mean, I look back as far as Blade Runner and
well,
so many
it's
more
it's one of the
that.
Classics, yes. And there was another one about 10 years ago, The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's
which
right.
It was about clones.
That's
and
right.
Then, you know, who is the real person and who is the clone?
Okay, so an interesting film.
I thought they were
conceptually
interesting in their way, yes.
Philosophically interesting also.
Yeah, so for some, they might be interesting films to talk about rather than to see.
Like me.
There you are. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Peter Malone, head of the film office at Cygnus, the World Catholic Association for Communication.